Okay, the boys, today's daf is daf Chav Zayin, and we're holding three or four lines before the Mishnah, in other words, about halfway down the Amud. The Gemara is going back on the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. What did it say in the Mishnah? Back on Chav Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah distinguished between a woman that was taken into captivity because of Mamai. Mamai means that either she or other family members owed money, and therefore they took her as a mashkin, as collateral. Or if she was taken for nefashis, because of chas v'sholom, she or someone did a capital crime that will unfortunately lead to execution. So in the Reisha, the Mishnah said, if it's because of mamonis, then afterwards when she is freed, she's muteris labala. Because the assumption is that they didn't want to damage the collateral because they wanted to be able to go and get paid fully. In other words, the whole reason why they took her as collateral in the first place is because someone owed money, and they figure if they're going to damage her by violating her, then the person is not going to want to go and pay back the loan. Therefore, they're going to give back the same undamaged goods that they took into collateral, and this way they'll get their mammon back. That's why muteris labala, we don't have to be choshesh that perhaps they violated her. However, if she was taken because of nefashis, it says in the Mishnah, asur labala. Now what exactly means nefashis? It's interesting, Rashi in the Mishnah would seem to be at odds with the Gemara. Because Rashi says in the Mishnah, shehoisa nidoinis lomus, means that she herself, unfortunately, was sentenced to execution. So, from the point of the sentencing until the point of the actual execution, perhaps that would have taken a week or a month or whatever. So, during that period of time, the captors would take her, and the unfortunate circumstances are that since she was basically, what would they say in negative English, she was basically dead meat already, because she's going to be executed. So therefore we have to assume the worst, that they're going to violate her before they execute her, and that's why if miraculously she's freed and she goes home, she's asura labala. That's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Getting to today's Gemara, Omer Rav, the Gemara quotes Ayde Nefashis Asura, Omer Rav Kigoin Nashi Ganvi. What means Nashi Ganvi? Says Rashi, if you have a situation where not that the woman has been sentenced to execution, but her husband has been sentenced, because her husband happens to be, unfortunately, a ganef, a thief. And Rashi says that the minig of the governments at that time was that once the decision was made that the husband is going to be executed, then unfortunately his entire vermegen, that means all of his possessions, including his wife, were basically all hefker. Anybody could take, anybody can run, anybody can... It's reminiscent of what happened during the Second World War, that when they took all the Jews out of their homes and sent them first to the ghettos, and then from the ghettos to the camps, that as soon as they left, all the goyim rushed into the houses to go and take whatever they could, because everything was basically hefker. And here too, basically, the women were hefker, the wives of these kanav. The Gemara continues on. V'levi amar kigoin ishtu shel ben dunoi. We're not, you don't mean the wives of ganavim, but like the wife of ben dunoi. Who's ben dunoi? It says Rashi, roitzei achoya. He was unfortunately a murderer. And just like the Rav said, that the wives of the ganavim, they became hefker. So Levi says, the wives of the rotzchim, they became hefker. The Mefarshim explained that there appears to be a machlokes between Rav and Levi, and that what Levi is saying is, no, it's only the wives of the Rotzchim where there was hefker, but not by the wives of the Ganavim. And therefore what Rashi perhaps means to say is, either he disagrees with Rav and says, no, that in Bayomim Haheim they did not execute Ganavim, rather, they incarcerated them, or they tortured them, or they punished them. Perhaps they sold them as slaves. But they didn't kill them. And so therefore, their families, including their wives and their possessions, did not become automatically hefker. it was only those wives of Ratzim. Ratzim they definitely killed. And so therefore, their families then became Hefker, the wife and all the possessions. So that could be the Pshat in Rashi. Or perhaps Rashi is saying, even if they did execute the Ganovim, since this was not considered to be the same type of capital crime as murder, so then they were not Mafkir, the Mamoin of the family of that person, and not his wife, and therefore the wife was free to go where she wanted to, and she was not automatically violated by the Goyim. Now both of these Pshatim, notice, are at odds with Rashi, because Rashi yesterday in the Mishnah said that she was Nidoin Lomas. She was sentenced to death. Here we're talking about that she was the wife of the husband that unfortunately was sentenced to death. Says the Shita Mekubet, says that that's the reason why, according to Rashi, the Girsa is not Amarav Kigoin Nashi Ganvi. Rashi on the top of the Amar, about 10 lines from the top, says Hani Nashi Diganvi. And similarly, the Aleph over here of the Bach, he also throws in the word Hani. And therefore, what they're trying to say is, Rashi says in the Mishnah that we're talking about that she was sentenced to execution. Say Rav and Levi, I can go one step further. Even if she was not sentenced, but unfortunately, many of the terrible regimes that we went through over the years, they had laws that said that Nashi Ganvi, or the Nashi Ratzchem, they all became Hefker. And therefore, that's why Rashi adds the word Hani, meaning to say, not only the case of the Mishnah, but also Kigoin, just like the other case of the Nashi Ganvi, where the same thing would apply. That's why he adds Hani to go and say that that's not the Pshat in the Mishnah, but Hani Nashi Ganvi, the same halacha applies, that unfortunately the Goyim would go and violate the women because they were all Hefker. And again, Levi says, not by the Ganvi, but only the wives of the Ratzchem. Amr Chizkiya, V'usha Nigma Dinan Lahariga, when did they officially become Hefker, that people can Chas V'Sholom grab and violate the women and take the possessions? Only after Gmar Din. Gmar Din means that the court issued its ruling. Once they were just charged with doing a Masa Gnevor, a Masa Ratzicha, apparently the courts in those days were similar to kangaroo courts, so when you took someone in charged 99% of the time, if not 100% of the time, they were sentenced based on the original charges, so you don't have to wait until the Gzar Din. Even before Nigmar Din, unfortunately, it was common for the populace to go and take this as an opportunity to grab the goods. It's all Hefker, and therefore we have to be concerned that she was violated, even though it was not decided yet by the court. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah is going to tell us about a situation not of an individual, but a whole town or a whole city. And we're talking during wartime, where the enemy army has come and has encircled a town or village and is holding them siege. Nobody can go in, nobody can go out. What's the story now? So, Ir Shekavshua Karkoim, if you have a Karkoim, Rashi says, means a Motsur. Motsur means a siege. So you have over here an Ir that first was conquered by the enemy army, and now they put the city in siege. It's appropriate that we're learning this during the 9 days, because as you know, many, many years ago, before the Churban Beis HaMikdash, from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz until, well, I think it's from Asar B'Tevis, they were ready in siege, and then Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the Goyim broke through, and then they started attacking, and then eventually they got to the Beis HaMikdash, which was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. But regardless, getting back to our Mishnah, what the Mishnah is telling us is that if you have such a city, then kol kohanos shenimtu besoicha, all kohanos, the word kohanos really means over here, nishay kohanim, the wives of kohanim, they are going to be psulais. Why are they going to be psulais? Because we have to assume that they were violated by the enemy army. And as we know, when it comes to a kohen, the halacha is that even if his wife was nemsa, she is unfortunately asura to her husband. You could learn the gears of Kohanis talking about a girl who is a Bas Kohen. What would mean then that if she was Nemsa, then she'd be Osir, or it doesn't even have to be a Bas Kohen, it could even theoretically be a Bas Yisrael. If she lived with someone Birtsoina, then she would be osur to go, and she would be a zoyna, and as a zoyna she would be osur also to a koyin. Anyway, the Mishnah therefore says kol kahana shenimtzu b'tzoyichas psulais v'yimeish lehem edim, if there are edim that she was not ne'ensa, that Baruch Hashem she was untouched, then what's the din? Afila eved, afila shivcha. You don't need to have edim men, but even an eved or a shivcha that are normally psulei edus, hari elun emanim, they are believed. And the reason is because b'shvuya heikilu chacham. It's not that we know for sure that they were nensu, we just have a chshash that they were nensu. Therefore, since because of this chshash, yes, we have to be worse. We have to be concerned about the worst, and therefore the halacha is psulais. But if we have at least one aid, like an eved or shivcha, that says no, she was untouched, and therefore they are free to marry kohanim or to return to their husbands that were kohanim. However, a person is not believed on himself. Really, we mean that the lady is not believed on herself to go and say, Tehoira ani. Zokimar, or Emini, I'll ask you a kasha. You just said now that if a city is in siege, you have to expect and assume the worst, that the army went, some army men went, and they violated the women. Freitimar Emini, I'll have a kasha. A Mishnah in Mesechtis Avoidazar. Voshte don the Mishnah. Balesha Shibali ir. What happens if a Balesha? Balesha means marauding troops. We get the name Balesha because Balesha in Aramaic means spies. So typically the army and the troops, they would first spy out what's going on and then they would attack. Or Rashi says another pshat, that after they took the town in siege, then they would go and spy out and try to find all the hidden treasures that people would try to hide and put away in safes and in vaults or under the ground or whatever. Anyway, but Balesha Shabodi here, Bishah Sholin, if these happen to be, if you will, friendly troops means of your own Medina, of your own regime. Chavios, Psuchois, Asurois, Stumois. Even though these are friendly troops, however, the practice at that time was, how did they support them in terms of food and drink? There wasn't a federal tax, but rather every town or every village that they came to, they expected them to go and support them for the next few days or weeks, as long as they stayed there. So you have this Balesha comes into the city. There's no milchama, it's shalom. Since there is no milchama, they are looking around and they're going from house to house. Chavios, psuchois, asurois, stumois, mutars. If you had a chavios of wine, which was pasuach, you have to assume that now it became Yayin Nasech, that the Goyim, when they saw that the wine was open, they took some of the wine. And when they took some of the wine, they did libations for Avodah Zarah, so either it would be Osir Tiaraisa if it's a Nisach L'Avodah Zarah, or if they just touched it, you'd have a problem of Stam Yenam. But if it's Pesuach, you're in trouble. If it's Tumais, however, the barrels are sealed, Mutaris, and you don't have to worry that they went and took any wine. And of course, they're sealed. If you don't have to worry about that they opened up the barrels and they resealed them because they feel that they can do whatever they want with impunity. So if they took any of the wine and they would have opened it, they wouldn't have sealed it. They would just left it unsealed. So if it started sealed and it's still sealed, you can assume they didn't touch the wine. Pshas v'chom, however, if there is a war going on, elu mutarais, even those wine barrels which are open are mutter. The fish ain't penai lanasich. They're busy shooting, they're busy fighting a war. They don't have time to go and indulge in the pleasures of drinking wine and being manasich wine. So all the wine is mutter. So now the Gemara assumes that they just don't have time. They're busy shooting and fighting and running and fleeing and doing what soldiers have to do in battle. And if that's the case, how do they have time to go and violate the women? We're saying in our Mishnah that you have this unfriendly army that is laying siege over a town or a city, that they're going to go and violate the women. If there's a war going on, and that's why there's a siege, they don't have time to go and chas v'sholem go and violate the women. Amarav Mary, live al yesh penai lenasach ein penai. You got to make your choices in life. And Rashi says that as we know, the Yetzer Hara is very, very strong. And therefore the Yetzer of Arayis, to go and violate women apparently is stronger than the Yetzirah to go and drink wine or to menasech wine. You know, you don't get some wine, so you take Coca-Cola. But violating a woman, that is unfortunately a big Yetzirah, and therefore we got to expect the worst. That's teretz number one. Reb Yitzchak Elozer, Mishmei Dechizkiyo Amar, Kan Bekarkim Shel Uisa Malchus, Kan Bekarkim Shel Malchus Acheres. It really depends on the circumstances. Is it a karkim, is it a siege of your own malchus, or of a malchus acheres? Now, what does that mean, of your own malchus? Your own president, your own king, is not going to lay siege around a town or a village in his own malchus. That doesn't seem to make sense. So therefore, Rashi says, karkim shel uisa malchus really means that there is a war going on, and that the melech has been able to conquer a town or a city which is samuch lememshaltoi, not far from the government borders, and he wants to annex that town or city to his government borders. Sounds like what's going on in Ukraine, where Russia wants to annex major parts of that country, if not the entire country, to be part of Russia, part of the new Soviet Union, if you will. So the point is, since you want to go and conquer that city and make it annexed to your own malchus, says Rashi, the king wants to instill goodwill with all of his new citizens, and the only reason why he's taking over this town or city is because he wants taxes. He wants people to go and pay taxes to the government. But otherwise, he doesn't want them to be upset at him, because then they won't pay the tax. So he tells all of his army men, yes, lay siege, but don't any of you go and violate the women. He said, you don't have to worry. Here, Karkim Shel Malchus Acheres means that there's a war going on. However, the town that's in siege is far away from the enemy territory. And therefore, he has no intention of going and conquering that particular town and annexing it to his Malchus. He's just fighting because for the sake of fighting a war. That being the case, they let the army men do whatever they want. So the army men want to go and violate the women, they have, you know, carte blanche permission. So that's the difference between a karkim shel oisa malchus, karkim shel malchus acheres. So our Mishnah is talking about a case of a karkim shel malchus acheres, and therefore in such a situation, you have to assume that the army men do whatever they want, it's hefker, and the women become chas v'sholem nensu, and the apostle de kahuna. I'm afraid, Dimar, shel oisa malchus, he said, there you don't have to be concerned. Even if the generals have announced that all of the soldiers should be on the best conduct and nobody should go and violate any of the women, after all, there's still going to be some renegade soldiers who are going to run out in the middle of the night when nobody's looking and they're going to do their thing. How can you go and trust that they're all going to abide by this order that they should be on the best of conduct? And for the Gemara, Mira Mishmol, Kishu Mishmorois Royois, Zu Ezu. It's talking about that in this siege around the town, that they have every, I don't know, 50 feet, 100 feet, they have a Mishmor, they have guards that are sitting there watching, to make sure that nobody leaves and nobody comes. In other words, Ein Yotze Ve'ein Nichnes, Ein Nichnes Ve'ein Yotze, nobody's coming in, nobody's going out. So any soldier that would try to break lines and go into the city would be caught, and you have nothing to worry about. Pray to more, even those mishmarais, they also have to doze off from time to time. They can't be up 24 hours. And it's true, okay, fine, that they're going to have others that will only be 12-hour rotations or 8-hour rotations. But nevertheless, if nobody's coming and going, eventually people start becoming tired and they doze off. And therefore, how can you be sure that nobody went and ran into the city and caused havoc? Amr Ablevi, Kigoin de Mahadalo Lemosa, Sheshilta, the Kalba, the Gavza, the Avza. They went to put up a whole series of, a whole system to make sure that nobody was coming and going. So, what are all of these things? Sheshilta, says Rashi, is a chain of metal. So, presumably, there was a chain around the town, so that in itself was a protective force. There was also gavza. What says gavza? Rashi says gavza are maklois v'kismen li koshel behen. They put on the ground sticks and thorns and toothpicks and things of that nature, that if somebody would go on them, he would become injured as a result of going over those maklois or kismin, or maybe it would just crackle and make a lot of noise, and that would alert the guards. And they had kalba, you had dogs, va'avza, and you had geese, or other types of fowl, that they would come and they would make sounds when they heard people approaching. So all of that was kind of an alarm to make sure that people would not violate the border and go violate the siege and go in or go out. So you don't have to worry about an army renegade. Amar Baba Barzav, the pligi bar Rabbi Yehuda Nasi of Rabbanan. When Rabbi Yehuda Nasi of Rabbanan heard this teretz about kan bekarkim shel oisim malchus, kan bekarkim shel malchus acheres, they heard it and they had a shtikl machloikis. What was the shtikl machloikis? Chan Omar kan bekarkim shel oisim malchus, kan bekarkim shel malchus acheres, v'lo ikasha levelei midi. One agreed with the teretz that was given by Rabbi Yitzchak bar Loza Mishmei de Chizkiya, that there's a difference, a fundamental difference between a siege by a, if you will, a friendly country, the country that wants to annex this city or village to its property, then they will presumably conduct themselves properly. And when you have a marauding army that's taking siege of a city far away, not for the purpose of annexation, for the purposes of going and taking booty or whatever people do in war. And therefore, there's a major difference. One was very satisfied with that teretz. V'chad kashle kolhani. The other, however, again, there's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi and the Rabbanan. One of them was happy with his teretz and didn't ask any more kashas. The other one said, no, I still have a problem. And that is, even by the karkim shel oisa malchus, where they tell all the soldiers, be on your best behavior, there's bound to be one army soldier who is a renegade, who's going to try to run in and chas v'sholom violate some of the women. So, kashulei kolhani, he asked the kashas that we just addressed, umeshani, and he resolved them just like we resolved it. Keep going to mahatli lamasa, shishulta, v'kalva, v'gavza, v'yavza. So you don't have to worry about any army man trying to escape the siege and go into the city because of all of these potential alarms that would alarm the guards, and the guards would know, somebody's trying to go into the town. Right, Omer Avida bar Avin, Omer Yitzchak bar Ashia, em yesh shem machboya, achas, matzelas al kahanas kulan. What happens if in that town there was a large tunnel or a large bunker of sorts where women could go and hide themselves from the marauding troops? Then that's matzelas al kol kahanas kulan. Meaning, even though in our Mishnah we said that kol kahanas shebesoicha are psulois, that's when they didn't have this type of hiding place. But if there's a hiding place, we can assume that anyone and every one of the Nishei Koyin had the opportunity to hide whenever there were soldiers around, and therefore they're all okay. By Rabbi Yirmiya, this is one of the famous Rabbi Yirmiya Shailas. As you know, Rabbi Yirmiya from time to time asks very interesting Shailas throughout Shas. So one of the Shailas that he asked was, Eina machsekes ala achas mal. What happens if this tunnel or bunker is just a tiny little tunnel or bunker, and it can only hold one person at a time? So then, any woman that comes to Bezin, we have to decide, is she muteres lekoyin or asur lekoyin? Well, we say, well, maybe she was the one that was hiding in that tunnel, and therefore save her. After all, we don't know for sure that they were violated. We're just concerned that they might have been violated. So if you have any type of justification, we've already used the term amasla we had a few days ago, any type of cover, defense, maybe that's enough. Or maybe, you know, let's be practical. Since this machbay can only hold one woman at a time, if there are 500 women here in the town, so there's a, unfortunately, statistically, it's likely that each one of the women was violated, rather than saying that statistically she saved herself being in the machbay, since there's only room for one. Says the Gemara, l'chora can be poshited from the famous halacha of the Shnei Shvilin. Umay shno mishnei shvilin. L'chora, this is identical, not on the facts, but in the legal analysis, like the case of the Shnei Shvilin. What's the Shnei Shvilin? Echatom libi echator. There were two roads that led, for instance, let's say, to the local shul. and you had one road on the right and one road on the left. Under one of them there was a mess, and under the other one there was not. Now the problem is, anybody that goes on the road where there is a mess, unfortunately was ma'il al hatuma and became tameh. If you went on the other road, you didn't. Somebody went on the shvilim, v'halach v'yechemem, v'asat taharis, v'chaveir v'halach b'shegi, v'asat taharis. You had two people, Yankel and Beryl. Yankel went on the right one. Beryl went on the left one. And we don't know which one had the tumma underneath. Or perhaps we did know which one had the tumma, but these two went on the two shvilim and they couldn't remember which one went on the right, which one went on the left. Point is that we have a sofik. So if Yehuda Oimer im nishol zeh b'fnei atzmo, zeh b'fnei atzmo toheiros. If each one of them, Yankel goes to the roof on his own on Tuesday morning after the daf and says, "What do I do?" You have a sofik whether you became tameh. Sofik tameh b'shus rabim you are tohar. No problem. We learn it from Saita, right, Barry? What happens then if Beryl comes on Wednesday morning, he asks the same shaila, same sofik applies. Again, we will say that he is tahar. Even though this would sound to be inconsistent, they can both be tahar, but since each one came on his own, each one is a sofik b'shus rabim, each one is tahar. However, shneim ke'achas, if both of them come to the roof at the same time, Tuesday morning, and they both present themselves with this shaila, one of them is tameh, one of them is tahar. I can't possibly go and do eeny, meeny, miny, mo, your tummy, your tar, so I have to go and say that both of them, unfortunately, are tameis. As these are the Tanakama. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, that the Tanakama is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, ben kach, ben kach tameh. Even if they come separately, they're also going to have a din of tumah. Really? Why is it suffering tumah shisarab? Why are they tar? The Omer Rav will be same Rabbi Yochanan. Both of them come, or either Rav or Rabbi Yochanan come to narrow the machloikas. And they say, if both Yankel and Beryl came to the roof at the same time, there's no way that he can go and choose between them, and therefore both of them will be tameh. If they both come at separate times, one comes on Tuesday, one comes on Wednesday, so where's the machloikas? All of the al chaveray. One of them comes in and says, my name is Yankel, I have a good friend, Beryl, and guess what happened? We both walked on these paths to shul. One of them walked on the path that had the tumah. We don't know which one. What do we do? So only one of them came to the roof, but he represented himself as well as a shliach on behalf of his friend. The question is this considered to be the basachas? Or is this considered to be bezeach hazeh? And that's in fact the machlaikas. Ma'am adam al basachas, since the shaila of both of them is being presented simultaneously, so that's pasachas, and therefore they're tameh. It's true that he is presenting the shaila both on his behalf, on the behalf of his chaver, but the bottom line is, they didn't come together as one, so the ruv could go and paskin each shaila separately. First say, oh, I'm going to paskin your tohar, come back later, tell me about your friend, take one at a time. Anyway, a machloik is whether it's considered to be like basachas or like bezeach hazeh. That's the case of the Shnei Shvilim. What does it have to do with us? V'achanami, kim d'shor l'lekulu, since in our Mishnah we said, kol koihana shenimtza b'soicha psulois, and then the Gemara said, five lines into the wide lines, Umar of Idi Barav and Umar of Yitzchak Bar Asher and Im Yesha Machpua Achas Matzelis ala koihanas kulon. This is a heter that applies to all the kohanos. And then Rabbi Yirmiyah said, what happens if the machboy happens to be small and narrow, can only fit one person? Is that matzel ala kohanos kulon? Oh, so then we're talking about all the kohanos at one time, even though only one person is posing the shaila. So therefore, this is like a case of the bo lishel ol of the al chaveroi. But here we're not talking about one chaver, we're talking about asking a shaylan pan about all 500 chavei rois, all the women in the town. So the chayit should be totally in that machloikas. And Rabbi Yossi, as you recall, said, ben kachu ben kach tmei. And Rav Avisei Rabbi Yochanan said, what is the machloikas? The machloikas is, in this case of Bidba, on his own behalf, Bishol Olavi al chaveroi. And Rabbi Yossi is the one that's the machmir. He says that they're tamei. And points out Rashi, whenever you have a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is Rabbi Yossi. And Barry is thinking to himself, well, generally we pasken like Rabbi Yossi because nimukai imoi. That's true, but it's not an ironclad rule everywhere. I'm sorry, Barry, what would you like to say? So that Rashi asks your kasha. Rashi asks five lines from the bottom. When they both come together, why do you say tamei? So to Rashi, teheichi neim lehu. How? What can the roof say? Since both of them are coming basachas with the identical shaila, what can he tell them? Tohir ma'atem, that you both tohar because safik tumer shus ram is tohar. Chad minal vade betamei ozal. There's no question that one of the, I don't know which one, but one of them certainly went on the tamei dika path. So to go and ignore that and close our eyes and say, no, it's Shavit Yom, says Rashi, according to this man, the Amar, you can't say that because we know, if there's only one guy, and we don't know whether he went on this path or that path, we'll say that it's Tohar. Shavit Yom is Tohar. But here we know one of them for sure became Tohar. I don't know which one. So to go and pronounce them both Tohirim, that doesn't work. So unfortunately, the default is to say they're both tamei. You can't say your tamei and your tar, your tar, your tamei. So it's got to be one or the other since they came in basachas. That's the benefit of going b'zeachaseh. Then each one you judge separately and then say, yeah, okay, your tar. The other guy comes the next day, your tar. They come basachas. We can't say they're both tamei. So says Yimara, we're going to say the same thing over here. The Hachanami, two lines from the bottom. Kim the Shari Lahu Likulu Kibasachas Dami. Since they're all coming as one, they're all considered to be basachas. What's bothering the Gemara? What's bothering the Gemara is Lakhira can be poishit the Shaila of Reb Yermia and say that it's a machloikis now between Reb Yossi and Reb Yehuda. The same Reb Yossi and Reb Yehuda like the case of the Shnei Shvilim. Then according to Reb Yossi, who is Machmir, and says that if one person comes on his behalf and on behalf of his chaver, then we say that they're both tamei. Here we're coming on behalf of one Kohenis, on behalf of all the Kohanois, so the Chayim should all be tameis. So we can be poishet our shaila, because we paskin, Machloik is Reb Yossi from Yehuda, we paskin like Reb Yossi. Everything more in Nishkarai. Hochi Hashvi, you really cannot compare the Shnei Shvilin to our case of the machboy. Why? Because hosam vaday ikatuma hochamiyemar di itmi. In the case of the two shvilin, vaday ikatuma, like Rashi said, one of those two shvilin for sure is tame. There's no question about it. That's the reason why it's certainly we have to go and say that both of them are tame, because one of them is for sure tame. Hochamiyemar di itmi. Any lady that comes to us, I don't know whether she became tamei. I have to suspect the worst because the goyim are taking the whole city in siege. I have to expect, I have to be suspect, not expect, but suspect. However, it's certainly not a vadai. And even if the marauding army were violated some of the women, certainly you don't say that they violated all of the women. That being the case, it's a chashash. So mi yemin itmi. So even though you're asking about all Kohanis as one, it still wouldn't be identical to the case of the Shnei Shvilin when you're asking on behalf of one, the Al Chaveroi, because there we know for sure one guy is guilty of Tumah. Here, maybe none of the women were Nivalo, or even if some of them were, but it's still a Chashash, it's not anything definitive. So no Raya from the Shnei Shvilin. Pregimon Yitzhashai, the boy Ravashi. There is a machboy. And this machboy, we're leaving Rabbi Yirmiya Shaila now. We're talking in general. We have a machboy that could fit 100 women, 50 women, whatever, a large number of women. And one of the women, what did we say before? That if there is such a machboy, then Matzelis al Kohanis Kulan, then all of the Kohanis have an alibi that they were in the machboy and they were saved and they did not become tummy. So, what happens if you have a lady that says, Loi Nechbesi, I did not go into the tunnel, I did not go into this bunker, but Loi Nechbesi, nothing happened to me. Now, Mi Amrinu do we go and say that she has the Mali Lashakir? Meaning, she has a Migoy. She could have said, I was in the Machpoy, and then we would have believed her, and she would have been Tahar. She is an honest lady. She says, I didn't go to the Machpoy, but Lamasa, I'm still Tahar. So do we believe her because of this Mali Lashakir? Oy Dilma, Lo Yamrinu. Maybe we don't say that Mali Lashakir. Why don't we say Mali Lashakir? Because we have what the Gemara calls shortly, Rashi calls shortly, the Anan Sadi, that we unfortunately are witnesses to the fact that when Goyim, a marauding army, is in charge of a town, they unfortunately do terrible evils. They don't write about it in big, bold letters in the papers, but they say the same thing happened now with Russia invading Ukraine, that in many, many towns and many cities, the army went, you know, they went to berserk and they went and violated all the women, half of the women, some of the women, whatever it happens to be. See, here, you don't have this Mali Lashakir because it's like in Migui B'mokim Edom. The Edom are the Anan Sa'adi, that we know what army soldiers are like. And therefore, if she says, I wasn't in the Machboy, we got to suspect the worst. So that's the Shaya. Do you give a Mali Lashakir or Dumulai? I can go in the Chayra, be poishit from the following famous story. Duhu Gavra. This story is brought a few times in Shas. How Gavni Ogar Lechamra Lechavrei. You had, it was Hertz, rent a donkey. And somebody went to Hertz, rent a donkey, and he rented a donkey. Omale. And the clerk behind the counter told him, Leitezel ba'orcha den harpekoid de ikamaya. You can use the donkey wherever you want, but do not go on the road which is next to Nahar Pekoid, because that's always wet, there's always water over there, and the donkey might slip, or the donkey might be swept away by the water, depending how much water there was, or maybe he would drown, or whatever, there would be a flood. Don't go on the road to Nahar Pekoid. Rather, Zol Ba'orcha Denarish, go on the road that goes to Narish, to Lekamai, because over there, there is no water, and that's safe, and that's fine. Of course, what did the person do? Naturally, the Ozel Iyubi Orchid Nahar Pekoid. He did go in the Nahar Pekoid, the bad road. And what do you think happened to Miz Chamra? And his Chamar died. It's like every time you go and see a sign that says, painted, don't touch, something like that. So everybody, of course, has that urge to go and touch and see whether it's stuck as still wet paint or not. He told him, don't go on the Nahar Pekoid road. And of course, well, I got to try it out. He said I shouldn't go. But he did go. And the chamor died. Also, the kabbid rova. He now comes in front of the rova. Omalei. En ba'orcha d'nahar pekoid azli. The truth of the matter is, I violated his instructions. I went in the har pekoid. I'm telling you the truth. However, mi'uli habamaya. But that day it was dry. There wasn't a drop of water. Nothing happened. It's a died a natural death or an unnatural death, but nothing to do with water. Amarava, so Rava said, Mal l'shaker. L'choyre, he has a mal l'shaker. He has a mikoy. Because Iboy Omale Ba'orcha de Narish Asli. He didn't have to tell the truth. He could have said that he went on the Har Narish. And guess what? The Orcha de Narish. And the animal died. I mean, cars die and animals die and Chas v'Shalom people die. I mean, this is only natural. And therefore, maybe he has a mal l'shaker and then he can get off. The Omale Abaye said, No. Mal l'shaker. Mokim Eidim lo yamrinon. You cannot say Mal l'shaker where you have Eidim. Now, what means you have Edom? So if you look at the top Rashi, top line, B'mokam Edom, Anan Sahadi Dechol Shata Ikamaya, any of us that live near Nahar Pekoid, we all know that the road to Nahar Pekoid is always wet. It's 364 days out of 365. Yeah, maybe 1%, but 99% of the time, it's always wet. And 99% of the time, animals die because there are floods, because the rivers pull them away, there are high tides, whatever. So, to go and say, well, he has a Mali Shaker, he could have said that he was on Narish, and he said it was on Har Pekoid. No. He has a Mali Shaker, but it's against Mokam Edom. Edom meaning Anan Sadi. We, all that are familiar with the terrain, we know there's water there, and therefore he's not believed. So it says, the same thing over here. That even though this lady could have said a sheker that she was in the tunnel, she was in the hiding place, but she said, no, I wasn't in the hiding place, but loinit meisi, but hachi, and therefore say the same thing. But it's Anan Sadi that if, once she said that she was not in the machpay, the Nansari, then unfortunately she was violated. Just like the persons that said that I went on the harpakoid and there was no water, Anansari, there was water. So be poishit our shaila from this other case of the Nahar Pekoid and Narish. Everything Gemara Hachi Hasha, there's no comparison. Hasam Vada Ika Edom, Ika Maya. Since 99% of the time there's water, we can all testify in court, even if I wasn't there yesterday. But I know, I've been there hundreds of times. Nahar Pekoid is always flooded, always flooded. Nothing to talk about. Hacha Vada Itmi. In the case of the army and the siege, is it Vadai? Cheshashehu. It's all suspicion, speculation, conjecture. I'm concerned, I'm nervous that the women were violent, but I don't know for sure. Maka cheshashehu amrinan. We only have a cheshash that you don't know for sure. Amrinan, then we could perhaps believe the Mali Leshakir after all. So therefore you cannot go and be pushed to the Shaila from the case of the rented donkey, where there we know for sure that the Orcha de Nahar Pekoid was full of water, and you don't have any Mal Leshaker B'mokem Edom. Okay, back to our Mishnah. It says in the Mishnah, yes, there's a siege around the town or village. However, if you have a Miesh Edom, even an Eved, even a Shivcha Ne'emanim. Now, our Mishnah doesn't distinguish between one Shivcha and the other. Nor would you expect it to go and distinguish a shivcha is a shivcha is a shivcha. However, the Gemara is now going to talk about what about shivcha dida? What about this lady's own shivcha? Do we suspect that because of her loyalty to her mistress, that she'd be willing to go and testify falsely and say, yes, my mistress was there in the town, sure, but I was with her the whole time, she was never violated, she's fine, she's good. From our Mishnah, it sounds like even Shivcha Dido would be believed. It says, a Shivcha and an Eved, they're believed. But for the Shivcha Dido, Mihemna, is that true? She's believed. There are many, I'll ask you a kasha from Masechta's Gittin. It says in the Mishnah Masechta's Gittin, there's a halacha of what we call Get Yoshan. What means Get Yoshan? Rashi explains, we have a person who's Chas V'Sholem, a Shchiv Mara. He's been told by his doctors that he only has another couple of days to live and that it's almost over. This fellow, unfortunately, was not a zoche to have children. And he says to his wife, if I pass away, chas v'sholem rachman litzlan, you're going to be faced with a potential yibum situation with my brother. And my brother, unfortunately, is not an easy customer. So I'm going to go and write out a get right now. And the get is going to say, I give a divorce to my wife, etc., etc. And what happens? He gives the get to her, almanas, that if he passes away, the get should be chal limafreya. So he gives her a get Tuesday morning after the daf, says to her, I hope I live till 120. The doctors, however, predict that it's going to be a little bit shorter than that. So therefore, I'm giving you a get out tonight. Not that it should be chal immediately. I want to still be married to you. However, if and when chulila I pass away, it should be chal mafreya from now, from the time that I'm giving it to you. Okay, nothing wrong with a get like that. We've had that already before in the Gemara. What is problematic, however, is what happens if he decides to go and live with her until he passes away. In other words, he passes away ultimately, I don't know, a week later. But during that week's time, he still lived with his wife, he had beer. Says the Gemara in the Masechtas Gittin, that is what we call a get yoshan. Get yoshan meaning that it was an old get. The get was effective from before, and then the husband and wife lived together post-get. So what's the chshash? The chshash is that maybe after all these years of marriage, when they didn't have a child, maybe now she's going to become pregnant as a result of that bia. And guess what happens? When the child is going to be born, people are going to start making cheshbonis, and they're going to say, that child cannot be the child of the original husband, because I see the date of the get was on, I don't know, August 1st, Lamashal, and the child was born 9 months later, or 7 months later, whatever. And if you make a cheshbon, the child was born post the date of the get. If we add 9 months to August, September, etc., etc., let's say it comes out Ichweis, let's assume March or April. I didn't do the cheshbon. I'm sure you can all do it more quickly than I. So what happens to the child? 9 months, let's say, from August 1st, just for argument's sake, ends, let's say, on March 1st. And what happens then? Then the child was born on March 15th, not on March 1st. So people will say, certainly can't be from the original husband. Look, the original husband gave a get on March 1st, and the child was born March 15th, 9.5 months later. That would be miraculous that this child would be from the first husband. It must be that shortly after her husband gave her a get, she lived with somebody else, and she's not telling us the truth. She's not telling who this child is. So this child is now suspected of being, who knows, maybe the father's a goy, maybe the father's a mamzer, who knows who the father is. So that's the problem with get yasha. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi, like the Siachet Imai, end of the second line at the very top. So it's Rashi, Mesechta's Gittin he. This is a Mishnah Mesechta's Gittin. Shechim Rashi Kosem Umasa Getli Ishtoi. He wrote and he gave a get to his wife. Almanas on the condition. Shem Meis, if and when he dies, ye get them afraid the get should be chal retroactively. V'lo tizokik lechalitza, so she should not have to worry about chalitza with her brother-in-law. She should not, from that point on, go and be sequestered with her own husband by herself. Because maybe he will want to live with her. And utanam beisil oisrin, lifter beget yoshin. Beisil, the big mekilim say, get yoshin is no good. Ve'ezel get yoshin, what's the definition? Koshin es yachid imah. I'm worried about if there was a yichud between the husband and wife post the handing over of the get. Me'asher kosvula, after yichud, after he wrote the get. V'taima, and the reason is, gzeira shem yoimru gita kaidim lamna. That in, if and when the husband passes away, and the wife is pregnant and she has a child 9.5 months later, people will say, it's not from the original husband, it's post the date of the get. Without their realizing that the husband and wife lived together post-get. So to dispel these potential issues, says Basil, don't use a get yashim. So what do you have to do? After all, the husband means well. He doesn't want his wife to have to go and fall liyibim to that nasty brother. So what you have to do is, al tisiyachet ima. But yeah, what do you mean? We live in the same house. You have to have a personal mashgiach. Who is the mashgiach? Zokta Mishnah in Mesechtes Gittin. Or a mini, like the siach and imoy, don't let them be together by themselves. Ella al pi edim, you have to have an aid there. Afila edech, api edechot, afila al pi evet, val pi shivcha. The only thing that you cannot trust, the only person you can't trust, chutz mi shivchasa, b'nei shaliba gas b'shivchasa. The shivcha is so close to the mistress, to the lady over here, that the shivcha, so we are concerned, won't go and be an effective mashgiach. The Eved or somebody else, a third party, even another shivcha, they'll all be effective mashgiachim. The husband and wife are not going to boldly debia if they have them present. However, her own shivcha, says Rashi, she will even be mishamish with mita, with her husband, even if that shivcha is present, because she trusts that shivcha, that she's not going to spill the beans, she's not going to tell anybody. So therefore, loitis yachad imoy with that shivcha. So just like we don't believe the shivcha over there, her own private shivcha, so why would we go and allow her own shivcha over here to go and testify, yeah, my mistress is tahira, nobody violated her. After all, the shivcha might very well lie. Omra papa b'shvuyah hekilu. In the case of shvuyah, which is our case here, our Mishnah, they were mekel, because it's only a suspicion, we don't know. We're mekel by shvuyah. Rapapa Amar, ha'b'shivcha nida, ha'b'shivcha nida. It really depends on which shivcha we're talking about. After all, in our Mishnah, all it said is, em yesh edem afilu eved vafilu shivcha nemanim. So we assumed, like the Gemara began, vafilu shivcha nida. Says Rapapa, no, shivcha nida is never believed. Our Mishnah is talking about other shvachis, the shivcha of her husband, or stam shivcha, any shivcha in town, is believed to go and say that Mrs. Smith was not violated. However, Mrs. Smith's own shivcha is not ne'emenes. She is not believed. Pray Timar b'shivchli dog loy mehemna. Haktani, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, ein oda meyed al atzmoy, that the only exception to the rule is that she is not believed about herself. Izach mashwa shivcha dido mehemna, but her own shivcha would be believed. Her own personal shivcha is almost like an extension of herself, just like she's not believed about herself. Her own shivcha is not believed about her either. Ramashi Omar, hava b'shivcha dido. Shivcha mechsa chazia. The Shoska. In both cases, our case and our Mishnah by the Shvuya, and in the case of the Get Yoshe and the Masechtas Gittin, both times we're talking about Shivcha Dida. The Shivcha Mechsechazia. The Shivcha sees what's going on. So she knows. The Shoska. And we assume that she will maintain absolute cold silence. She's not going to say a word. Hosam, in that case, by the Get Yoshan, Dishtikosam Mati Rasa, by being silent, that will be Matir, her mistress. In other words, she's supposed to be a Mashkiach, so that we will can and ask her, no, did the husband and wife, were they Messiached after handing over the Get? And she will say, Mum's the word. In other words, she will not say a word. Since she's going to not say a word, that's why we won't believe her. In the case of the Shvuya, if she maintains silence and doesn't say anything, then her mistress is going to be Asura. Why is she going to be Asura? Because everybody in town, we are concerned that Chas V'Shalom, they were violated by this people, the army that was in siege. And therefore, if she's going to be quiet, she's going to answer her mistress. Then, Mehemna. Why is she going to be believed? Because Hashtanami Asya. So she's going to be believed because we assume, says Rashi, that it's one thing for a person not to speak and to maintain silence. But it's another person to go and testify falsely and be a shakran. Most people do not like to lie under oath, especially if it's not regarding themselves, it's regarding somebody else. So therefore, that she's going to go and maintain silence and not say anything, that I'm choshed. But I'm not choshed that she's going to be mishakeres. Frank Timur, why? Hashanami asu mishakra. If she is so close to her mistress that she's an extension of her, then why don't we assume that she's willing to go and lie on her behalf? Says more tartly avda. I'm only concerned about one step, not two steps. Meaning one step that she might go and be silent and not tell the truth about what happened. That I'm takachosh. However, that she's going to open her mouth and be mishakeres and say an absolute lie, that we are not concerned. Because we have that famous story of Kihad de Mori Bar Isik, the Amri La Chana Bar Isik. There was a person called Mori Bar Isik, others say it was Chana Bar Isik. Either way, this person was what the Gemara calls later a Gvar Alam. Gvar Alam means a real strong guy. Nobody started up with Mori Bar Isik because he was as a shtickel gangster, a shtickel mafioso. He was like 6 feet five, 500 pounds. Nobody started up with him. Even as a grubby ying. And he easily intimidated individuals. So what happened? What happened was that he had Osali Achami Bechizor. He had a brother that came from far away. Rashi says that the father of Mori Bar Isik, apparently his name was Mr. Isik, decided many years before to move away, with or without his wife, and they went to Bechazah. They moved with a young child. They had a young child, and Mori Bar Isik had a young brother who was 5 years old, Lamashal. The father took him away. They went to Bechazah. Fast forward now 25 years later, we heard that unfortunately Mr. Isik passed away, and he left back a fortune here. So that brother that went with the father to Bechazah now returned. It's 25 years later. He left when he was 5. Now he's 30 years old. And he says, you know, father died, and I want to go and get a split of the inheritance. Is Omalei, so Mori Bar Isik said, Leidana lecha, I don't know you. I don't recognize you. Prove that you're my brother. Also, the Kamen of Chiz, he came from the Rav Chiz, Omalei, Shapik Omalach. He has a good defense. The Chiz says in the Pasuk, V'yaki Yosef is Echav, Heim Lo Yikiruhu. How is it possible that he recognized them and they didn't recognize him. Because by the time Yosef was sold at the age of 17, he didn't have a beard yet. And now it's 22 years later, or whenever it was, and now they didn't recognize him. He has now a full beard and he looks very distinguished and all the rest. That's why they didn't recognize him. Here too. Sorry?
It's that old expression, where there's a will, there's a relative.
Aha. Very good. Shkoyach. That expression is as long as old as a long beard. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, the Gemara says, Omalei zil aisisari de achvat. Because Mori Bar Isik's taina is a good taina that he doesn't recognize you, bring edim that he happens to be your brother. Omalei, so the brother said, Isli sari, I got edim, there's no problem. However, Mr. Finamine, we're afraid, the edim are afraid to open their mouths in front of Mori Bar Isik, the Gavra Almahu, because he's a terrible guy, he's very intimidating. Amalei, so now he said to Mori Bar Isik, that is, Rav Chizah addressed himself, now it was Rav Chizah, yeah, Rav Chizah addressed himself to Mori Bar Isik and said, Lidideh, to him, Zil Aisinu At, the Lav Achach At, you know, Achach Hu, I want you to go and bring now witnesses the other way around, and bring witnesses that he is not your brother. Amalei, Dina Hachi, that's the halacha that I have to bring witnesses to disprove that he's not my brother. He wants money from me. Let him prove that he's my brother. I have to prove that he's not my brother. That doesn't sound right. That's the rule that applies to people like you who are intimidators, as a shtickle mafioso type of guys, that since nobody wants to go and testify in front of you guys because they know they may not live another 24 hours, so therefore you got to go and bring the witnesses. Frey Timura, what is that going to help, telling Mori Bar Isik bring witnesses? He'll have no difficulty bringing witnesses that fellow is not his brother. Hashanami Osu Mishakri. Won't they intimidate two people to go and say sheker and say that he's not my brother? So what have you gained by saying, Mori, you bring witnesses? They're going to intimidate those people to go and say false testimony. Says Mori, what do I see from this? Tartali Abdi. You can intimidate a person to keep quiet and not say the truth or not say anything. But to go and intimidate someone to the point of forcing him to say a lie, that is a rare situation. Because the person will presumably just flee, he'll run away. I don't want to go and say a lie in Besdin and be caught as a liar. No, I'm getting out of here. So, yes, you can intimidate a person to keep quiet, but it's difficult to intimidate a person to speak. So here too, the Gabi, this Shifcha Dida, yes, Imasecht is getting, I have to be worried that she's going to be quiet and she's not going to go and tell the fact that her mistress lived together with her husband. And therefore I have a problem, she's not an appropriate mashgiach to ward against the possibility of a get yoshin situation. However, over here, the only way that she can go and permit her mistress to remarry is by saying a lie that my mistress was not attacked and not violated. Now, to go and say a sheker, we are not choshesh that she's going to say a sheker. Says Yomar, let us say that whether or not we believe her own shivcha or not is a machlaikis tanoi. Zu edus ish v'isha tinik v'tinoikis. This type of edus is the type where we believe any man, any woman, any child, or via v'ima v'achia v'achoisa, anyone and everyone, avaloi b'na ubita loy avda v'shivchasa. If chasa shom we have a shayla legabe a potential shivuya, we will believe anybody, like it said in our Mishnah, even eved v'shivcha, except for the following exceptions. And who are those? Her own son, her own daughter, or her own Eved, her own Shivcha. Those are loy ne'emanois. We can't believe them because, unfortunately, they are under the dominion of their mother, of their mistress. But there's another braisa. Hakol ne'eman lohoid. Chutz mehemena ubala. Everybody is believed to go mimeya that she is kosher, that she was not violated, except from Himena. Himena, says Rashi, means she herself, Ubala, and her husband. So those are the only two. But come to Chois, but a Shivcha, her own Shivcha, would be believed, right? The first Brisa says that her shivcha is not believed. Loi avdav v'shivchasa. The second brisa says everybody's believed except for she herself and her baal. So apparently, the second brisa holds that her own shivcha would be believed. Says Yimor, the Rav Papi, the Rav Ashi, Tanoi. According to Rav Papi and Rav Ashi, we have Machlokes Tanoi. Who's Rav Papi and Rav Ashi? When we ask the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta's Gittin Lagabe, the Get Yashan, the first teretz that the Gemara gave was Omer Papi. Right? It's about a third down the Amid. Omer Papi, Bishvui Hekilu. By Shvui, we do believe even her own Shivcha. I have one Bryce over here that says, we don't believe her own shivcha. It's a machloikis. Machloikis, the gabi yedin of shivcha. Similarly, Rav Ashi is halfway down the Amid, said, ha v'ha b'shivcha dida, and shivcha dida is not believed. Why is shivcha dida not believed? Because of the fact that mechza chazi v'shaska. Oh, but I have one brisa that says over here that she is believed. So therefore, says Yimar, both according to Rav Papi and Rav Ashi, whether you believe Shivcha Dido or you don't believe Shivcha Dido, it's Machlokes Tanoi. So Timoy, Rav Papa, Milema Tanoi, what about Rav Papa? What did Rav Papa say? Rav Papa was on the same line with Rav Papi, and he said, Ha b'Shivcha Dido, Ha b'Shivcha Didei, that Shivcha Dido is never believed. Not here, not in Gittin, never. That it says in our Mishnah that Shivcha is believed is Yenem Shivcha, somebody else's Shivcha, but not Shivcha Dido. She's never believed. The second Brisa said that she is believed. So lechayra tanoi, it's a machloike said leme tanoi. Tomolecha papa, no. Everybody agrees to me. Shivcha dida is never believed. Mipnei sheli bagaspa. Kitanya imsich masicha lefituma. There is talking about a separate situation where she's not coming to testify in court. She's just talking. And when a person just talks, not for the purpose of testimony, then often they will be believed because we don't have to worry about that they're trying to engage in deception or lies. What was the case of Masich Lefituma? Give an example. Ki hod chiyosar avdimi omarav. Chiyosar avdimi. When avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he said that Rav Chanan kartignoa mishtoi. Rav Chanan kartignoa told the following story. Others say it was a little bit different, that Rav Dimi is saying that Rav Yishua ben Levi was Mishtoi. He was telling the story. In other words, not Rav Chanan Kartignoa, but Rav Yishua ben Levi was telling the story. And the story was, you had a fellow who was unfortunately together with his mother in a very terrible situation of captivity. And that fellow, when he was freed, everybody asked him in shul, no, what happened? Tell us, you know, was that the after Kiddush or after davening? What happened to you? What was the story? Oy, ani ve'imin ishbinu lebein adichom. Unfortunately, we were both captured by the goyim and we were never in captivity for a week or whatever. But I want you to know, I kept good eyes on my mother. If I had to go and draw water from the well, I constantly look back to make sure my mother, was secure and safe. When I went out lalaket etzim to go and bring in some wood for purposes of making a fire, dati alimi, I was thinking about my mother the whole time. Anyway, he was not telling this in Bezin, he was just talking, you know, matter of fact, mesiach lefitumai. Says, you want to be sealed at every lakuna al piv, based on what he said. It's not so much that because he said, I protected my mother. It's because of the fact that he was saying that I'm not testifying in court, and I was with my mother the whole time, and even if I had to leave my mother, I was looking after my mother. So, we can believe the son under those circumstances. Even though one Bryce said before, b'no bita loy, you cannot believe them. Yeah, but this is a Mesiach Lefituma situation, not a testimony situation. So we see Mesiach Lefituma is different. Says Rapapa, that's the Bryce. When the Bryce says, Hakal nemanim lehoyed, chutz mehemenu ba'ala, we're talking about a Mesiach Lefituma, where then even the son, the daughter, the Evan, the Shivcha are believed. But otherwise, Shivchasa is never believed. And that's the end of today's Gemara. Mishnah to be continued tomorrow, brand new Mishnah. Sarge, are you leaving today or are you leaving tomorrow?
Actually, leaving tomorrow.